Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God."
Good job. Girl's got a voice. You, I'm looking at you. Kids did great, didn't they? Man, is that a blessing? Eh? What a blessing. I want to read some of the Easter story for us and let it soak in. I'm going to start just a hair before the resurrection story. I'm going to start back at the burial story. And I wanted Casey to read that portion of Scripture because it's important. As you read this story, as you read the Easter story and you read your Bible, there isn't any part of it. There's no paragraph, there's no little section of the narrative that goes wasted. God used every bit of the Scripture as you're reading it. Something in it is important. Something in there is standing out. There's something for us to see, even in the smaller parts of it. So as we begin to read the story of Jesus' burial and his resurrection, listen as I read in John chapter 19, verse 38. John chapter 19, verse 38 through 42, we have this burial account. And I love to hear that sound. Pages turning. After these things, Joseph of Arimathea, who was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took away his body. Nicodemus also, who earlier had come to Jesus by night, that's the guy in Casey's story, he came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds in weight. So they took the body of Jesus and bound it in linen clothes with the spices, as is the burial custom of the Jews. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So because of the Jewish day of preparation, since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. So we all know John 3:16, and we quote that so often. But that was part of the conversation with Nicodemus, this Pharisee, who had come to him by night. And Nicodemus came to Jesus quite sincerely as a Pharisee, as a teacher of Israel, as a leader. He came to him sincerely seeking answers to his questions. And Jesus tried to use earthly things to explain the heavenly things, and it just wasn't connecting here. And I don't know if you picked up on it, but in John chapter 3, verse 13, 14, and 15, Jesus gave him the gospel, and he gave him the resurrection, and he gave him this story. In John chapter 3, verse 13, it says, "No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven," which is saying, I came from the Father, I descended, and I'm going to ascend back to him. Verse 14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I'm going to be crucified, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." So he shared the gospel with him here, as well as trying to answer his very sincere questions. And now in John chapter 19, as Jesus' body was there dying on the cross and dead on the cross, don't know if the soldiers had taken him off the cross or if Joseph and Nicodemus had to do that themselves. But these two Jewish leaders are the ones who went public to say, we want his body, we want to take care of it. And that was a significant event. Luke tells us that Joseph was a member of the council. That was the council that the very night before Jesus had been dragged into and been condemned before that council. They're the ones who voted crucify him. And it says in Luke that Joseph of Arimathea didn't agree with their decision. If there was a room like this full of the council, there was one no vote. It was Joseph of Arimathea. And when Jesus' body needed buried, it was him and that secret Pharisee who came by night so that no one would see him asking his questions. And it's these two very religious leaders, wealthy, powerful men of the community that step out into the public light on this God-awful day and say, we want his body. Brought 75 pounds of burial ointment. You remember the story of that woman who went into the Pharisee's home and there was Jesus eating, and she had a pound of spikenard and she poured it out on his feet and started mopping his feet with her hair, and they had a fit because that pound of ointment was so expensive it could have been used for the poor. Nicodemus brought 75 pounds of ointment. Common man couldn't afford it. These two very religious, very powerful leaders definitely took their life and stepped out into the public, into the not so popular sphere of their day, into this awful event, and said, "We want the body of Jesus." There's more. There's some amazing things happen. I'm going to begin reading here in John chapter 20, verse 1. I want to read through this Easter story for you. Some pretty amazing things happen here. John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. "Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple." Now, through this story, this other disciple is John, writing in second or third person. But that's him. The disciple Jesus loved, this other disciple is John. It's how they wrote in the day. He wouldn't have said, "That was me." It was the other disciple. It was him. It was John. So this is Simon Peter and John, the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb. He saw the linen clothes lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet, or up till now, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary, Mary, Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he said these things to her. I can let that video run in my mind. I can see her in there weeping and tears coming down her face, and a silhouette or a shadow of a man comes into the tomb, and of course it's a cave and it's dark in there, and all she can see is there's a person over there, but she's weeping and maybe doesn't even look up. Obviously her attention is on these two angels sitting at the head and the feet of Jesus. He asks her, "Who are you looking for?" And certainly this must be some caretaker of the grounds. And then he says, "It's me." She recognized him then. I think it's a critical part of this passage in John chapter 20, verse 8 and 9. That Peter and John are running to the tomb, and John outruns Peter to the tomb. Peter gets there late and he goes right into the tomb where John's looking in. But look at chapter 20, verse 8. This is amazing to me. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in. Now John goes in and he saw and believed. For as yet, or up till now, they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. So even John apparently just wasn't comprehending, wasn't believing this part about rising from the dead. He saw and he believed because as yet, or up till now, they didn't understand the scriptures. But now John was piecing this together in his head. John, the disciple Jesus loved. John, that one at the Last Supper who was leaning up against Jesus. John, the one I say, it's my opinion that if Jesus had a best friend, I mean, if there are two guys that kind of like to walk together in the paths and horse around together and that really seem to click and have chemistry, I think it was this disciple that Jesus loved. I think if he had a best friend, it was John, and these two were like brothers. And up till now, it says, John hadn't understood the scriptures, as none of them had. But seeing was believing when he looked at that empty tomb. Even someone that close, I mean, that heartfelt close to this man Jesus, was just now piecing together the scriptures and the story and the events and what was taking place and things were unfolding. But I don't think there was anyone closer than John to Jesus, at least in heart. There wasn't a bigger fan of Jesus, maybe, than John. Peter was a pretty good rival, but man, John and Jesus were just clicking in a And if he had a fan. When Jesus was crucified, everybody scattered, right? Everybody ran at the crucifixion. At the cross, everybody took off and ran. Peter had already denied Jesus. And there stood John at the foot of the cross with Mary, Jesus' mom. Now, Peter would later be told, you're the head of the church. You're going to feed my sheep, right? You love me, right? He was going to become a great man, a great leader of the church. John was going to become the son of Mary. Woman, your son, John, that's your mom. Right from the cross, take care of her. He became his brother right there on the cross. He says, now, your mother and your son. I mean, that was how close they were. One more. In Luke chapter 24, verse 13, it's another version of the story. We've seen two Pharisees, a Pharisee and a council member to be exact, that were on the other side, so to speak, although very extremely religious, extremely synagogue, temple attending, church attending, very powerful men, very wealthy men, very smart teachers of Israel. We've seen two of them now step out into the public light for Jesus. And we've seen on the other side a very dear, dear brother-like friend of the man Jesus. Just now looking in an empty tomb, putting the pieces together, seeing and wrapping his mind around what he'd been told in these last few years. By his brother like Christ. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, the day Jesus rose from the dead, that very day, a little bit later on in the day, that very day, two of them, we don't know who, two followers, two disciples, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and beside all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some of the women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it's toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem." It's a 7-mile trip. "And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread." So there are two disciples, two men, two people, sad, walking, discussing, just having, must have been having a real intense conversation. If you've ever seen anyone just really having a conversation, maybe in the coffee shop or somewhere, and they are engaged. I mean, these two men must have been engaged in conversation. And up comes Jesus. And they don't recognize him. Their eyes aren't opened yet. And he begins to kind of play dumb to the whole situation. What are you talking about? What happened? And then he says in his very delicate way, "Oh, you foolish ones and slow of heart to believe, the prophets." And he begins clear back with Moses, and that must have been the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then into the prophets. And he explains and shows himself to them. They still didn't quite get it till they got to supper and he breaks that bread and blesses it. Bam! Eyes are opened, hearts are opened. So this is what I have for us today. We had two very religious people went public for Jesus. Very powerful, very wealthy people. And then John, and one by one, the disciples after that. Remember Thomas, "I won't believe unless I put my fingers in the holes in his hands and in his feet." But John loved this Jesus of Nazareth. He loved this guy. He believed he was going to do it. He believed he was the man. But the scriptures hadn't been opened to him yet, hadn't been understood yet, and this whole thing of rising from the dead was definitely confusing until he saw and believed. And then just two random disciples, wasn't the 11, it says, and they're discussing, just chewing up this story, what had just happened. So here's my thought for you today. And it's simple. It's very simple. Number one, particularly if you're new to this church family, I want to encourage every one of us to begin discussions about Jesus. I want you to discuss Jesus. Wherever you're at, at work, at home, in your family, at the table, walking, out walking, getting a little exercise, got people over for a game tonight. I want you just to find ways, areas, means of discussing these things about Jesus, because I understand from this scripture that they're difficult to wrap our mind around. Great religious people had trouble wrapping their mind around it, although the scriptures are saturated with it from Moses, the prophets, and now we've got the New Testament. I'm with you. There's a lot to wrap your mind around here. But it seems like when people start discussing, Jesus shows up. So if you're new to Cornerstone, I want to tell you, there's a Wednesday night group of us that get together and eat and discuss and pray together. There's a ladies' Bible study on Thursday that they get together and they usually watch a teaching type DVD and they discuss things of the faith. Join us Sunday morning. Ask somebody out for coffee. And don't be afraid to say, "I'm trying to wrap my mind around this Jesus stuff." I'm with you. We're with you. But have the discussions and let Jesus show up and help with that. He will open eyes. And number two, in this discussion that these men were having on this road, it says in chapter 24, verse 21, "We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. All our expectations have been shattered these days of Jesus. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel." That would be a big job. But let me just ask you this. As you begin your journey, as you think about discussing Jesus, as you think about maybe going a little bit deeper into this Jesus thing, and it's so worth it, please do. Maybe your expectations of Jesus, and of religion, maybe they're too small or not quite on track. Their expectations was that this king that they were so rooting for on Palm Sunday was going to redeem Israel. And quite honestly, it was a whole lot bigger than that. Quite honestly, he came to redeem the whole world. Quite honestly, he came to die for every man, woman, and child on this planet, not just Israel. He would redeem Israel, but his timeline wasn't their timeline. Could I encourage you, when you begin your discussion, when you begin thinking a little deeper, when you pursue Jesus just a little bit more, whether you are a very religious person, you've been hanging around church more years than I've been born, that's quite all right, because these men were too, and they just went public later on in life. Whether you've been one of the most heartfelt fans of Jesus, but just now you're starting to think about more than that. Maybe you're just starting to desire in some way a Savior, a Lord. But you've been a fan of Jesus all your life. I mean, you love this guy. This guy's amazing. I think he's so cool. But he's not your Savior. You haven't wrapped your mind around this resurrection yet. Whether you're just a random person, just something's talking to you in there. Something's in your heart going, come on, man. Come on, man. Think a little deeper about me. Jesus said, when I'm lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. I'll draw all men to myself. He's drawing you. That's what happens. If there's something, you're just some random dude, you don't think you're worth much or anybody, I don't know who I am, but you feel this little voice, this little itch. It's something in you just says, think a little deeper about me, will you? That's him. He's drawing you. He's pulling you. To start the discussion. And as I talked to our congregation last week, I mean, your expectations may not be quite right. They may be way too small, quite honestly. You may be thinking there's nothing he can do with me when he may want to get in and save your whole family. You may be thinking I'm worthless, I'm nothing, I can't, who am I? And he's going to bring loads of people to the Lord through you. He's going to impact your work or your community or your family or who knows what, your neighborhood. And you're just thinking, man, I'm just this random dude. I'm trying to wrap my mind around this. And your expectations may be way too small. The timing of your expectations aren't quite there, but he's got some amazing things planned for you and yours. So if you begin this discussion, welcome. We're in the discussion, okay? He's our Lord. We're in the discussion. We're all learning and growing together. But take your expectations and understand those are just your expectations. We have every one of these people here at our church. We have older, religious, leader people who are just now at ripe old age of, just starting to go public, just starting. And we have some people who have just thought Jesus was the coolest person on the planet who are just now beginning to wrap their mind around the Scriptures. The Scriptures are common to every one of these stories. It's the Scriptures that open our hearts and open our eyes, and He comes in. So start the discussion. Start the discussion. If we can help, please come and be a part of this. Please discuss with us. We have opportunities for you. We have great opportunities for your children here. As you've seen, we have the platform full. Start the discussion and realize that your expectations may be way too small. He may use you in a much bigger way. I never, ever, 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 ever dreamed I'd be standing up here. Ever. Ever. Thirdly, and finally, you know, it's what Jesus did. In Luke chapter 24, verse 32, it says, they said to each other, didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road and while he opened the Scriptures? Didn't our hearts burn within us while he talked to us and opened the Scriptures? That's what Jesus did. Of all people on the planet who could just like, let me tell you how it is. He opened the Scriptures to them. and their heart burned. He was drawing. He was working. Could I promise you, your heart will burn? Open the scriptures. I know you're going to read it. You're not going to understand it. If you have some issue reading the Bible, you need an easier read version, we'll help you with that. I mean, I can get you one with comic book pictures if you want it. You know what I mean? Read the Bible. It's what Jesus did. Or come with us and we'll help discuss the Bible with you. And let your heart burn within you. And they rose that same hour and they returned and they found and they said, the Lord is risen indeed. He opened the scriptures and he opened their eyes. And when he broke the bread, their eyes were opened. And that's where it always, always, always begins. You begin the discussion, you open the scriptures, your heart burns within you. And when you see the broken body and the blood and you give yourself to it, you receive the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ when he breaks the bread and you see him broken for you. He opens your eyes and your heart to see who he is. It always begins there. Try it backwards. Go ahead and give yourself to Jesus Christ. Just go ahead and pray that prayer in your car, at home, wherever you're at. Pray that prayer tonight. Lord Jesus, I need to see you. I know I'm a sinner. You don't got to convince me of that. I know I'm a sinner. We all do. But Lord, I receive you. I want you. I believe you died, were buried, and rose again. I believe that. Open my eyes to you. Open my eyes to you. Burn in my heart for you. Promises to do that. He loves that prayer. He shows up. He opens hearts. You're not going to understand the entirety of the Bible. I'm still learning the Bible. You're not. When I can understand all that, I'll give my life to Jesus. You don't have enough lifetimes. Give your life to Jesus. Begin a discussion. Here, privately, somewhere, begin a discussion. Sit your expectations over here and watch Jesus go blow them out of the water. But begin at the broken body and blood of Jesus Christ. He is risen from the dead. That's how it goes. I want to encourage you with that. I just want to ask you, as we sing and we close our service today, I'm going to ask you, has your heart been stirring within you maybe? Has there been a burn in there? Is there something in there saying, pursue this, pursue this. Start down the path with me. Come on. Just walk the path. Have the discussion. I'll show up. If it is, don't say no to that voice. Please don't say no to that voice. We want to help you. We want to help you. I asked Ted and Janet if they would come and sing a closing song. Ted and Janet are going to come up and sing a song for us, and then the praise and worship group will come up and we're going to sing a song together and close. But Ted and Janet are two people who have begun the journey. They have started the path. They are on the road. They are having the discussion. Jesus is opening the scriptures to them. And they're going to sing a song about their Savior.